Welcome to Parents' Perspective. 12-year-old Hal woke up with the bright summer sunlight splashing across his face. He squinted at his clock. It was nearly 8:45, and he knew his mom and dad had already left for work. Well, he thought, his folks wouldn't be home till 6 p.m. He had a whole day to himself. No one to tell him what to do or where to go. No one to please but himself. For 9 hours. What a break. He walked over to his window and looked down at the empty driveway. Why was he beginning to feel sad? From a parent's perspective, what can we do for our children when we can't be home? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. We're talking today with an expert on preschool and school-age children. Vicki Zaitz is a clinical social worker. She serves as director of the Bell Pre-Children's Center, which is part of Montgomery Child Care Association. Vicki also has a private practice for family therapy and play therapy. She has 2 daughters, ages 14 and 18. Welcome to Parents' Perspective, Vicki.
Thank you, Linda.
In our opening story, a 12-year-old is being left home alone for a whole day. What's wrong with that picture?
Well, what's wrong with that picture is that that 12-year-old is going to have to be in charge of making a lot of decisions and having a lot of responsibility for himself and his care, his self-care, during that day. And as you described, Sandy, that feeling of sadness that comes over him may be because he realizes that he's alone and has to make a lot of choices and decisions and have a lot of responsibility during the day. He may be fearful about what's going to happen to him during the day. He may be feeling a little bit anxious, not certain about what will happen in the course of his day and what he'll do with that. So I think that's what's wrong with the picture.
It's funny. Someone told me a long time ago that children as old as 12 and 13, even when they're left home by themselves, have all kinds of anxiety-produced behaviors, like hiding in a closet. Is that true?
That is true. Oftentimes, children become fearful and they become anxious and will even hide and may not tell their parents that they have this fear or this anxiety because they understand that their parents need to leave each morning to go to work and they understand that this is their situation. And so sometimes parents aren't even aware that their children are feeling this way or behaving in this way.
Do you find that kids left home like that get into trouble, get into mischief when they're all by themselves?
There are studies that indicate that children who are left home alone in their early adolescent and adolescent years may have a higher incidence of cigarette smoking, drug abuse or alcohol use, depression, academic difficulty in school, even tardiness and being late getting to school, those children who are responsible for getting themselves off to school in the mornings. So I think there are all kinds of risk behaviors associated with children being alone at home.
Legally, is there a minimum age for children to be left home alone?
Well, each jurisdiction may have a different minimum age, and it's important for parents to find out what that would be in the area that they live. In the area that we live here, children must be 8 years of age to be left alone, and they can be 13 years of age when they are caring for other children, such as siblings. But 8 years old is a very, very young age to leave a child alone.
How can parents judge when a child is old enough to stay home alone for periods of time? And what about leaving a child home responsible for siblings?
Well, that's a really good question, Linda. I think that parents have to judge their child individually because not every child is ready at the same age to be left at home alone or certainly to be left caring for other children. So I think parents have to know their child, and both the parent and the child have to be comfortable with the decision for the child to stay at home alone. Some things that parents can think about: are their children able to lock and unlock doors and windows just to complete that kind of a physical task, which is very important, both to be at home and get in and out of the house? Do they perform everyday tasks such as making a sandwich for themselves or getting themselves something to eat, answering the phone or taking message? Is this a skill that their child already has, or is this something that they really need to work on before their child is ready to be left alone? mentally or in a learning kind of a way, can their child tell time? Do they have a sense of when a parent will return and how long they'll be left alone? Do they understand concepts like strangers and emergencies? Can they understand what those things mean, and can they react to them? Are children able to solve small problems independently but really use their judgment and know when they need to get adult help for something? I think that's very, very important. And considering a child's actions and behaviors, do they understand how what they do may affect others? And I think that, do they know how to call 911? Do they know how to handle emergencies? These are very, very important learning sort of tasks that children need to know. And then emotionally, are kids confident and ready to be left alone? Or are they fearful and hiding in the closet? Are they willing to stay alone? Are they suggesting they have a willingness to do that? Are they able to handle their feelings, the fear, sadness, loneliness, or boredom that might come up from being left alone? And again, parents really need to be talking with their children about these things. And are they really ready to accept the responsibility, like getting to school on time and not being late in the morning? Socially, are they able to solve conflicts with their siblings? If they are in charge of other children in the household, how do they handle conflicts with siblings when the parents are around? That may be some indication about whether or not they're ready to be left alone at home.
Boy, that is some list. I wish I had that right here in writing.
It sounds like the kind of thing that parents can't tackle in one sitting either. It sounds like it's an ongoing thing that parents are going to have to give a lot of thought to over quite a long period of time.
I think it is an ongoing list, and it's something that parents and children have to begin to prepare for ahead of time. And they need to practice, and there need to be short periods of time in the beginning if the decision has been made to leave a child alone or in charge of other children, short periods of time when that is practiced before a child is left alone, in the example that you shared, Sandy, for 9 hours a day.
What are some safe options for parents who can't be home with their children at certain times?
Well, some options may be changing their work schedule. If there are two parents in the family, maybe one parent changing their work schedule so that they can be home for their children. But that's often not an option that is available to parents or works for many families. Another option is to hire someone who they know to be a responsible person, like a neighbor or a relative or a friend, to care for their child. A third option would be to select a licensed child care provider or a licensed child care center and to really investigate the quality of that programming to leave their child in that kind of care during the day. And of course, the last option that I would be aware of is the option of self-care that we're talking a little bit about today. But that might be the least attractive option for many children and many families who are not ready for that step.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on children staying home alone.
The excellent new book, Parents as Mentors, by hosts Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is a practical guide to bringing out the abilities in your child. Parents as Mentors is available at all bookstores.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We are talking with Vicki Zaitz today about children staying home alone.
Vicki, if a child must occasionally stay without adult supervision, even just for an hour or two, what kind of preparation should she have?
I think the preparation that you need to have is to begin to talk with your child first to make sure that you both feel comfortable with the idea of being left alone, even for just a couple of hours. And then to help provide some structure for your child around that time, whether that's 2 hours or that's a whole day, to begin to really help the child structure that time, such as setting rules for things like seeing friends. Are friends allowed to come over? Are they not allowed to come over? For going outside, is the child to remain in the house? Can the child go outside to play? A structuring use of activities like the TV and the computer, making kind of a to-do list with your child. What are the activities or things that you can do while I'm gone during the day or for this period of time? And discussing whether there are chores or other responsibilities or tasks that need to be accomplished in the house and when the child will do those. And then even talking with your child and agreeing on consequences for when these things do not happen, what the consequences may be. I think parents have to discuss safety with their children. That's very, very important. So setting up a plan with your child to handle emergencies such as a fire or entering the house and leaving the house, answering the door and answering the telephone, procedures that parents want kids to follow. What happens if there's severe weather, a thunderstorm and the lights go out? You know, putting together maybe a little emergency kit for your child that they know is always there for them that would include a flashlight or a transistor radio. Always posting emergency phone numbers on the phone for your child of people that they can reach if they can't reach you. And I think ideally, if one of those persons can be a neighbor or someone very close to where you live so the child can reach them immediately, that's a really good idea. And then being a good long-distance parent, checking in with your child either through cell phones or pagers, having a regular check-in time for your child to call you, I think that's an important thing to do. If you're leaving your child alone for the whole day on a regular basis, one of the things you probably need to do besides practicing these procedures is to drop in early once or twice and check in to make sure that everything really is okay. And the one thing that I would add is don't forget to childproof your home a little bit. We do it when we think of infants and toddlers and young children, but we need to do it with older children as well. Make sure that children don't have access to medications, to alcohol, to firearms, to anything that they can harm themselves or someone else with.
We don't give a whole lot of thought to that as they grow up. We kind of relax. I wanted to tell a story about weather. You brought up thunderstorms and the like. We left to go out for an evening, leaving our youngest son home when he was in high school. So he was well into his teens by this point. And there was a huge thunderstorm while we were out. And we came home and all the lights, all the power in our entire neighborhood was out. And we came into the house and our son was talking on the telephone. And he got off as soon as we came in. He said, "Oh, my parents are here. I can get off now." And he explained to us he had called his grandmother and said to her, "All the power is off. I don't like being at home alone in the dark. So will you talk with me until my parents get here?" I don't know how long they were on the phone. I never did find that out. But it was a good solution. He found something that made him feel better about the situation he was in.
That was an excellent solution. And I think one of the things that parents can do is kind of do a what-if game with their children and think about situations that may not come up each and every day during the time children are left on their own, but may come up, emergencies and things that may happen, and how can children solve those problems or what can they do to begin to deal with those things. I think it's always better if we try to think a little bit ahead about the situations that may occur that we can't predict instead of waiting until they've already occurred.
I think also if we have flashlights at specifically named places in our homes, we do have to check them periodically, make sure the batteries are working. At some point, someone gave us one of those really, really long flashlights. I think it took 5 or 6 D batteries. And inevitably, whenever we needed that flashlight, at least one of the batteries was no good. So we have a lot of flashlights in a lot of places now.
I think that's really a good idea, which also reminds me that parents may need to practice from time to time some of these emergency procedures that actually haven't come up or don't happen so that children can be prepared, teaching a child initially but then not having them go through that experience for a long period of time, they may not remember what the procedure was. So I think that reviewing where flashlights are, what the procedure for emergencies are, is a good idea to do from time to time.
And where you go and how you get out of the house if
exactly.
you have to.
Exactly, yes.
Somebody on the program not too long ago when we were talking about child safety said a common mistake that people make, children and adults, is when they get in a panic situation, they have to dial 911. Sometimes they think that they're going to dial 911, and there's no 11 on the telephone.
Yeah, we never
That's something we never thought of.
That's a good point.
So there are all kinds of things to be aware of. Is the preparation that we were talking about different if this is a regular part of a daily or weekly schedule for a child?
I think that the preparation may not be so different. I think children still need to know how they can contact you and reach you, who they can contact if they can't reach you, how long you will be gone and where you will be, even if they're just left alone for a small period of time. And I think we still have to make children aware of all of the safety and emergency features and situations that we just discussed. I think that they're really equally important. The difference, I think, would be that when children are left alone occasionally for short periods of times, we might not need to structure their time as much as we need to do if they're left alone for longer periods of time on a regular basis. It may be that there's some more flexibility in what they're doing if they're only left alone for a couple of hours once in a while. If they're left alone regularly every day after school for several hours, it may be that we need to build in homework time to that. We may need to build in other kinds of routines, chores, and responsibilities. And we really may need to help them to understand and make choices about seeing friends, choosing activities, what to do when they become bored, what to do when they become fearful, and managing those kinds of feelings that may come up for them on a regular basis.
I would think under those circumstances, having specific chores or a responsibility that a child needs to do is sort of a security measure for that child. It makes the child feel better. Gee, this is what I have to accomplish. It's a great distraction. Even if it's just emptying all the trash cans or something, it seems to me that's a good thing for a child, not just from the standpoint of teaching responsibility, but I must get this accomplished while I'm here.
I think that's true. It helps kids to kind of count the time, mm-hmm. and it helps kids to have a schedule and some structure to what's going on so they know what happens when they get home, they know what happens an hour later, and then right before their parents arrive.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on children staying home alone.
For an audio cassette copy of any Parent's Perspective show, send a check or money order for $5 with your name, address, and phone number to Parent's Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We are talking today with Vicki Zaitz about children staying at home alone. How do children react when they're left home all alone for several hours?
Well, again, it will depend on the child, and there's a lot of individuality between children. But some of what we see when children are left at home is we see an increase in feelings that are difficult for them to manage, like sadness or feeling fearful or feeling anxious. Stressful, feeling lonely, or feeling bored. And of course, there's some risky behaviors that can grow out of some of these feelings. Some of those include use of drugs and alcohol, which may be available in the home. A child may just feel that they are just going to experiment with that. No one's home, they're bored, or maybe they have friends over, or you've allowed a friend over, and they decide to do something that they normally wouldn't do under your supervision. Children have a lot of responsibility when they're left on their own to make some very serious choices, and sometimes they don't make the best choices. There may be an increase in sexual behavior among older children who are left alone at home and unsupervised. So again, this is something that parents have to talk to children about, set limits about, set rules about, and find some way to find out and check in with their kids and see if this is behavior that's going on, either with their children or other children that they may be allowing in their homes.
I think there's some statistic, but I don't know specifically what it is, about teen pregnancies. The largest percentage occur during those hours between when the child comes home from school and when the parents come home from work.
Yes, I've heard that statistic too, although I can't quote it and don't know it, but I have heard that as well. I think the other thing is that there is more school delinquency, there's more school failure academically. Children aren't necessarily doing their homework or accomplishing what they need to do after school on their own. So again, it's very important for parents to check in with kids when they do get home, even though it may be at the end of a long day. What has the child done in terms of their homework? What were the expectations in school? And making sure that their children are getting to school on time if parents are leaving in the morning before their children go off to school.
So it's not only talking with them, but it's having a mechanism to find out what's really happening. I think the thing we hear about a lot with older kids is the kid may know that he or she is not supposed to have people come over, but other kids find out that this child is home by himself or herself and come over anyway. And then the child is in a situation where he can't sort of throw his friends out. And so then we get into the group behavior business where very often good choices are not made.
Exactly. And I think that's why it's important that parents are checking in, dropping in unexpectedly, and talking with others, neighbors, our neighbors seeing other children come into the house, and really staying on top of things with their kids and talking about things with their kids. Remembering also that consequences for these behaviors can be discussed ahead of time with older children so they understand what privileges they may lose as a result of making poor judgments and allowing other children in the home.
Years ago, we were warned when we were leaving our children with young babysitters to lock up any alcohol we had in the house because we could come home and find everything looked the same, but a quarter or half of a bottle could be water. They would refill the bottle to look like it had looked when we left. That was a really scary thought to me. And I guess kids can do that in their own homes as well.
They can do that. And again, what I would say to parents is even if you think that your child hasn't thought of that or may not think to do that, another child may.
We really want to offer some resources to parents, Vicki, if we can. What are some resources parents can consult about leaving children home alone?
Well, one of the resources that I've found that is free and complimentary to parents are a series of brochures that are part of and published through the Project Home Safe by the American Home Economics Association with some funding through the Whirlpool Foundation. Those three brochures are called Assessing Your Child's Readiness for Self-Care, Preparing Your Child for Self-Care, and Finding Quality After-School Child Care for Your Child. And those are available to parents by sending a self-addressed stamped business size envelope to Whirlpool Home Life Network Services, Project Home Safe Brochures, P.O. Box 405, St. Joseph, Michigan, 49085. I'll say that again. I know that's a long address.
Great,
it's Whirlpool Home Life Network Services, Project Home Safe Brochures, P.O. Box 405, St. Joseph, Michigan, 49085. I think that's a good resource for parents. I also have a couple of ideas and resources on self-care books for children. And I think that if parents would take one of these resources and use it to work with their children in doing the planning and prevention and practicing that we've been discussing, it would be very useful to them. One resource is the official Kids Survival Kit, How to Do Things on Your Own, which is written by Elaine Chaback and Pat Fortunato. Another one is called In Charge, A Complete Handbook for Kids with Working Parents, which is written by Kathleen Sherrar-Kite. Those are two resources that I would recommend that parents share with their children.
Vicki, is there anything that you want to add as someone who's taking care of an awful lot of children for parents to keep in mind about this issue of whether or not to leave a child home alone?
The one thing that I'd like to add is that, again, I think that when children are 12 years and younger, even though in the area we live in, from the age of 8 years of age, they are able legally to be left alone. There are many children in this age range that are not ready to be left alone. And I would encourage parents to seek out quality, licensed child care programs for their children age 12 and under, and then to prepare their children when they decide to transition them to self-care in the ways that we've discussed today.
Okay. Well, certainly we can all feel more secure about planning for our children's time if it has to be home alone. And we thank our guest, Vicki Zaitz, for your many helpful suggestions.
Well, thank you for having me.
Our gift for our first caller today will be an autographed copy of our book, Parents as Mentors. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573. That's 1-800-791-8573. We look forward to hearing from you. We'd like to send you Parents as Mentors. The book is available at all major bookstores and through the web. To order tapes of any show, send $5 as a check or money order to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C. 20015. That's P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C. 20015.
You can reach Parents Perspective through your local station or call our toll-free number 1-800-791-8573. You can also email us at parentsper, that's P-A-R-E-N-T-S-P-E-R, at AOL.com. To learn more about us and our book, Parents as Mentors, visit our website at our shortcut address, http://i.am/parentsperspective. That's all one word. http://i.am/parentsperspective. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. Thank you for sharing Parents' Perspective. Our sound engineer is Damon Fisher. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.